Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios today is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning. Good morning.
Oh, my goodness. We were in the extra hour. It was so good having John Ramos with us this morning, wasn't it?
Yeah, it sure was.
Oh, we always love it when John is with us. We'll be right back in just a moment. Remind you this morning that coming into our extra hour that the Lord is your strength and your defense. He has become your salvation. He is your God, and you will praise him. My Father, the word says, I will exalt him forever. Shout out this morning to Texas. Good morning, Kate Chara. We love you. We're thinking about you. James, the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. Bless God. Well, here we are now in the second hour, the extra hour. Was that not great, the first hour this morning?
Oh, that's very good. Very encouraging.
Oh, my goodness. You know, it's just talking about the things of God, you know, and, you know, wisdom moments and just talking about, you know, if you want to be able to take a hit, you know, and we're all going to get hit, right? In this life, you will be hit. You know, cheer up, but the Lord's overcome this life. Is that you want to be able to have, you know, integrity in your life so that when we do take that hit, that we can still stand by God's grace, you know. So find out more about that in listening to the first hour if you missed it today, but you are joining us in the second hour. Again, with me in the studios is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning. Good morning.
Oh, my goodness. I want to give a shout out to Tracy this morning. It was just so wonderful to see things that are happening all over the place. My goodness. We talked about in the very end of the first hour about, you know, healthcare, what's taking place. We're looking at God's news behind the news. And, you know, it's so important, you know, to remember that, that, you know, you can actually be doing something good and to call it not good would be not true.
Right.
And so, you know, it's like somebody says, there's no such thing as dinosaurs. It says, yeah, but I'm standing under a Tyrannosaurus Rex at the museum right now, you know?
Right.
And it's just like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, it's come on. And so when somebody's doing something good, it's good to say it's good.
Right.
But the question is, just because it's good, is it God? Right. Is this God's plan? You know, and I think about, you know, we're going to have something coming up really exciting before probably the next 90 days or so, and it'll be on VFN TV, or at least on VFN Radio, that, you know, I don't know if you saw the movie Monumental, but it was just a powerful movie done by Kirk Cameron about the founding of our nation, you know, the original intent, and that... my goodness, it was all about freedom. But once you start mixing the government into the church, and that's what provoked the pilgrims, actually, as they're running for their life, so they're professing Jesus Christ. You know, once you start mixing those two together, then when you start following your God, they see it as treason because you're not following your government. Because what happened was that the queen became over the church. The king was over the church of England. And so... when they felt a lead to follow Jesus, you know, and learn what the scripture said and to be baptized, you know, and to do everything that the Lord says, they believe that, you know, you need to first be consciously involved in your decision for Christ. It's not about being christened or being baptized when you're an infant. It's literally, I got to be involved in this process. And that the queen would talk about them, and the word Puritan wasn't like some, you know, a kind word. It was like a spitting word, Puritans, you know, and that was a word that she would spit out.
Right.
And because they were actually following God, but because the government and the church merged, it means then the king or the queen or your leader, your president would be, you know, would be over your church.
Wow.
And so the second you're not going to, you're going to feel like you need to follow God, like he's saying that there, that may be a different expression or something like that. For example, that's treason. They saw it as treason to your government. They didn't see it as like, hey, I'm just going to begin to fellowship somewhere else or something like that.
Right.
Because they become one. Mm-hmm. And so when our founding fathers came, you know, that's why we have the First Amendment that says the government shall make no laws concerning religion or the free exercise thereof, mm-hmm. or the right to assemble. They're saying, listen, we've been there, done that, lost our heads, lost our lives. We're in prison because of that. You can't mix church and government in that context. The government shall make no laws.
Right.
The church could be the church. Nobody should be restricting the church. And so,
that's right.
And so that's what that was about. So we're going right back a whole different angle now, in regards to healthcare. You know, if we can't just come in and basically say, listen, we're going to rule you, and this is how we think it should be. You know, and our current president, you know, made a statement that America is no longer a Christian nation. You know, and those are like, you know, serious words. And the truth is that it was founded on Christian values. Our Constitution says very specifically that our rights come from God. The very First Amendment to the Constitution says Congress shall make no laws respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech. So literally, we should be able to say and peacefully assemble, it goes on to say. And so those things are coming when you start making laws that says, you know, as we've been talking about at the end of the first hour, now at the beginning, we're continuing to talk about it, is that they should not be telling the church, according to the Constitution, this is the reason why I'm going to tell you that in a minute, mm-hmm. that telling the church that you're going to have to pay for a particular insurance policy that will provide stuff for your employees that your God considers evil or a sin, and a sin against him, you know. And they're violating the very First Amendment by doing that. But the thing about this, if you run to your government, if you run to your government as God instead of just as government,
right,
then God's going to give it to you.
That's right. He sure will.
He'll give it to you. Remember when Samuel, and you can find this at SOS, it's on your teachings on VFN TV. It's totally available to you right now. You don't have to be a subscriber. That, you know, when they were actually wanting something similar to that, you know, and they were complaining about God's provision and his health care plan and the way things were, and that they looked at other particular governments, you know, around. And, you know, for us today, we'd say, well, socialism is a government, or Marxism or communism, which those words really mean economy and right. method of leadership. And so you know, Samuel's upset about it. And then God comes to Samuel and says, listen. He talks to Samuel and he says, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. He said, give them what they want. You know, it makes me think of John Paul Jackson's prophetic word in 2008. He says, you're going to get what you ask for, but you're not going to like what you get. And church, wake up. Yes, it is good. My goodness. I mean, if anybody does something helpful for somebody, especially if they're sick or they have a disease or something that's going on, of course that's good. But the thing is, are we going to let, you know, are we going to let Satan do that? We're going to let, you know, we're going to give up our worship of God and our freedom to follow God. You know, and to us, it's like, you know, it's appointed once to die. I got news for you. You might not know this, but you will not live forever in this physical life, but you will live forever when you die. You'll go right into eternity, either eternity with God, mm-hmm. you know, or eternity in hell, but you will live forever in that sense. But it's appointed once to die and then the judgment.
That's right.
You know, we are bodies that have spirits that possess souls, and that, we're spirits that have bodies that possess souls. You know, so often we focus on the body, which it needs some help. You know, it's when you're young and you're all vibrant and just, you know, all this energy and stuff, you go, wow, I can't believe that, you know, I'm going to be able to keep this body and whatever, strong body. And as you get older, like, I am so glad I'm getting another one.
Amen.
Put off the old one and put on the new, right?
That's right.
We talked about 90 Minutes in Heaven Friday. You got to listen to that highlight, because that's exactly what happens. You go back to highlights on your VFN TV app or VFNTV.com and listen to 90 Minutes in Heaven. It will really encourage you when you're thinking about your body. So So we got to be careful in regards to this when we're looking at government. You know, we can't forget where we came from, and we came from a people who wanted to worship God, but they were in a present government that was the head of the church. They just totally integrated church and government. And so when they did that, they began to be the ruler of the church. So now when you actually hear God's voice and you follow God, if it's different than what the government would say it should be, they consider that treason. You're actually committing treason against the church, against the government.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to mix the two. But what happened is it's the government shall make no laws, but the Christians can, you know, the people who worship, there's no boundaries in how they worship.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, and now the government's trying to put boundaries on the worship and trying to put boundaries. It's like totally opposite. No,
yeah,
you know, and the intent was that the government shouldn't be involved, like they were involved in beheadings.
Mm-hmm.
They were involved in an imprisonment. You know, one of the things that happened, just to tell you right now, because right now Justice Anthony Kennedy, one of our Supreme Court justices, is probably, say, on Time Magazine. You're gonna be able to see the cover on VFN TV blog, and just you can get the magazine as well. That is the June 18th issue. That he's gonna be the deciding factor, and he's gonna decide whether this is constitutional or not. And he'll get, now the people who wrote the Constitution came from this form of government that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And they were totally not for government tyranny. They were totally against, you know, taking away the freedoms of the people. And it was about the battlefield of ideas, and it may take a while to change our minds, but not to get surrender over to the government, you know, like Israel did during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you something, that God will give us what we ask for. And it's not rejecting a political party. It's not rejecting all these other things. It's rejecting God when we turn to government for God. Now, government serves a purpose. All authority is established by God. They're his service to do good. They don't punish the wrongdoer for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not God.
Right.
It's a big difference. You know what I'm saying? And so, but when they start saying this is how, and you have to understand, I mean, sin has gotten so far away from our mindsets. You know, we have people that are living in open adultery, that are professing to be Christians, and it's like, dude, that's fornication, where they're actually living together as a couple, and they're not married.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if the Lord comes back when you're in this sin, no matter what you profess with your mouth, your fruit says, you know, you're not going to make it. So, you know, if that's you right now, I know this culture is like that right now. What it means is this culture has got a dark cap on its head. It cannot see, and that, you know, you need to make that right. You need to get that right with God. It's just time to get married. And if you're actually living married, be married.
Right.
You know, and then trust God. I mean, you need God to be able to have any relationship with that. But understand there's so many things going on like that right now in America that you're trying to grasp. We talked about in the first hour about, you know, one of the biggest plays right now that grossed like $35 million is one that it just speaks against God and speaks against the name of Jesus. And it's right there in Manhattan and Broadway. And it's like, we're going in a very tough, bad direction. And the church is the key. The church is going to have to actually turn to God and turn to what's right. And so when they wrote the founding documents, when they wrote the letters, you know, you can find the letters that they wrote, the Federalist Papers, and you can read the Constitution, and you can read the Bill of Rights, and understand this, that there was a reason why they did this, because so that what happened in the past wouldn't happen again, because they were under that tyranny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, George Washington knew that if this thing didn't work out, they were gonna hang him or behead him.
Right.
That's what the British government was gonna do. You know, let me tell you what they did. Let me tell you what the British government did during that day, when our first president, the General Washington, and they were fighting for our freedom, which we have today, because they were under that kind of tyranny. The first thing they did is when they came over to come to a city or a town, they would actually find the pastor, the minister, because they blamed this mindset of freedom on the ministers.
Right.
And they locked them in their churches with their people, and they burned their buildings down with the people in the churches in there.
Oh, wow.
You have to understand this. That's, you know, people are not our enemy. Second heaven is. And he uses people, he holds people captive to do his will.
Mm-hmm.
And when you turn your worship over to a government, you know, the end of it's not going to be good because the whole thing just turned everything over to second heaven, you know, mm-hmm. Ephesians 6 and 12. And the first thing they came, well, one of the things they did when they come into a city, they would actually put the church and the pastor, lock the windows and the doors, and the shutters and the door, and they would burn the whole thing down because they went straight for the voice of freedom and the voice of the Lord, the preaching of righteousness and freedom in God and all the things that are going on. And so understand this, if you want to go towards government to be God, to provide for you, and government can provide things under government, but you're not looking to government as God. But when it starts moving into the area of worship and, you know, what God says is sin, but they're forcing you to, I mean, you're entering into a bad area. And government shouldn't be doing that. Not in America. I mean, it's not that way. Although God would let us have it. That it's not going to be good. Listen, they ended up in their church buildings locked up, and they set them on fire because they were killing the voice. They were killing. And so the freedom that we have now in the First Amendment, right, they understand the reason why they wrote that was because that's what was happening to them. And they're just up until the last moment, Pat, up to the last moment when the Jews were being persecuted and they were being taken first to the ghettos and then to the camps and then to on the trains and the camps and then to the ovens, that they lied to them to the very last second.
Right.
To the very last second they lied to them. And they believed it. You know, because at the very last second they say, listen, come into this particular room, take your clothes off, hang them up, and we're going to get a shower. And because they just came off this, you know, they were treated horrifically, you know. And so obviously you're thinking, well, and you're totally, it was horrific as it is. But they got ready for the shower, and then the shower heads that were over them in this room was actually gas. And they gassed the Jews. They gassed them. Mm-hmm. But right to that one point, they thought that water was going to come out of that. So to the very last second, they were treating them so nicely, but they were actually were deceiving them to the last second until finally they gassed, you know, our Jewish brothers mm-hmm. and sisters and family, and then they incinerated them, you know, they put them in ovens. And that, listen, Satan's a liar and he's a father of lies. You cannot go down this road. I don't care how pretty it sounds. I don't care how they're patting you on the back. I don't care how nice they say the train ride is. I don't care, you know, how they say, hey, we'll take care of you. Just come over here in this little concentrated area where you have, you know, a place where, you know, all you Christians can be and all you Jews can be in this area. You know, that's what they'll do. And then it goes from the ghettos to the trains and to the camps. And then, you know, it was just horrific. And the thing is this, Satan hates God. Get it? He's evil. Mm-hmm. Evil exists. You can't negotiate with it. He's a liar. He comes as an angel of light. We just got to follow God. We cannot turn to other sources for God. He said, there shall be no other gods before me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so the very first commandment. And so I want to encourage you. We're at the time right now, you know, that we want to pray for God's mercy. We want to pray for Justice Anthony Kennedy. He's going to be the deciding judge. Time Magazine says that from gay marriage to Obamacare, Justice Anthony Kennedy is the decider, you know. And so we want to be able to pray for him, that God would speak to him. But you know what? You know, we as the church just have to turn. We have to turn and say, God, you know, we've sinned. Lord, forgive us and repent, you know, and turn back to him. And that's why you got to abide. You got to spend time with him because you need to be empowered. And I encourage you to be able to do that. But you go to the VFNTV blog and see that cover of Time Magazine, and maybe you want to get you a copy of it. But we'll be right back in just a moment.
You know, if you're out there and you're listening and, you know, you find that life is empty and you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing, you know, you're working a good job, you went to school, you're married, you have a family, you have children, and you know what? Things still don't seem to quite satisfy, and it still seems like, you know, there's a big hole in your heart. I want to encourage you, there is hope today. You know, there is a hope through a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And you can meet him at Meet My Father. You know, the world is hungry. And I can tell you, I was in the same place. I can relate. You know, I went to school. I did all the right things that you're supposed to do. But yet, deep down in my heart, I still had such a huge hole and no amount of everything the world had to offer me. And I did it all. Was never satisfying. And still, at the end of the day, I still was missing my relationship with God. You know, if that's you, let me tell you, you can meet him. You can go to meetmyfather.org and you can meet my father and you can begin this journey of understanding and knowing him personally. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Do you remember our trip to Israel?
Yes.
You know, I remember that, you know, when we were in Israel, that we stayed with the people pretty much. We'd stay in hotels and all that. And we were staying in a house in Tiberias. Mm-hmm. And when we were there, we, for some strange reason, we lost 10 pounds, 10 pounds of weight. Their portions, you know what I'm saying? America's got like, oh, you want 4 gallons of butter and 25 gallons of ice cream, mm-hmm. you know, and you go to Israel's, you know, stores over there and it's like, okay, would you like a tablespoon of butter? And, you know, their portions are so much smaller, you know. I guess when you're a smaller country, you got to have smaller portions so you fit.
Yeah.
No, true. I was messing with you. So then, you know, and I remember the food. You remember the food? It's like, oh, my – you know, you worked all day long. You walked to Mount Ball. You've gone to all these places, you know, and you're just famished. I mean, you're famished as can be. And we came back in, and they said, would you like an extra tomato sandwich? It's like, I want meat. I want meat. You know, remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Remember
the pizzeria?
Oh, yeah. We think, oh, pizza. We're
this is it.
Yeah, we're right there in the northern border, right? Yeah, right there, up there by Syria where all these battles are taking place now, where you prayed over the borders.
Yes.
And you told the guards that. And we thought the pizza, right? We thought it was going to be good.
Yeah.
Because the kosher laws, they don't mix dairy and meat. You're not going to have, in Israel, you know, you're not going to have, you know, pepperoni on top of cheese.
Or sausage.
Definitely not sausage. Pork. Yeah, right. That's definitely not kosher, right? So, yeah, we got this big pizza, right?
Yep.
Remember that? Yep. Oh, my goodness. And they had green olives all over. Green.
Green.
Not black. Green. But green olives all over it, you know?
Very bitter.
Oh, my goodness. So you're sitting there going, here it goes. Your mouth's drooling with all these. And all of a sudden you stick it in your mouth. You're thinking, oh, my goodness, another pound. We just lost another pound at that one moment.
Yeah.
I don't think you've ever left pizza behind, did you? That's the first time you ever left pizza behind.
That's the first time, I think. Yeah.
You remember we were sitting down to eat and some Arab Christians sent us some food over, some bread over. Uh-huh. And they laid it right in the middle of the table. And they cooked this real thin, thin bread. I don't know what they call it. But it looked like skin, like human skin. It was so thin. I'm like, oh my gosh. Not only is it presently not good, it looks like something that's like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. And so, I'm just talking about weight loss plan. You know, if you want to lose weight, mm-hmm. You know, we need some more time in Israel, don't we? At least I do. You know, I guess I need some time in Israel. But I remember, you know, going through that and being able to actually lose weight. It was totally amazing. But remember, we finally came down to, I don't know, it's probably where in Galilee, Galilean experience, you know, they had a McDonald's was there. Remember the McDonald's? I mean, we were pumped, dude. We were just like, a McDonald's. We're finally going to get a familiar taste. This is going to be good.
Right.
And I was like, I want to, and I don't even eat in America. I don't even eat Big Macs and stuff. I mean, I do every now and then, but then I remember why I don't. And so I actually, we got the Big Mac and we sat down outside, you know, and we're thinking, this is it.
Gotta be.
I have no idea what that was between the buns, but it was not meat. And it tasted nothing like a Big Mac. And so I just want to say this morning, if you want to lose weight, if you're wanting to lose 10 pounds, if you want to lose 10 pounds in your life,
10 pounds in 10 days.
Yeah. Don't stay in the American hotels over in Israel. Stay amongst the people. I remember eating one time when I was there that I stayed with in a kibbutz with a Russian couple there, Russian Jews, and that was good. They had like pancakes for breakfast, pancakes for lunch.
Oh.
That was not a weight loss program. And pancakes for supper.
Yeah.
And I thought that wasn't good until you and I went and had skin and olives on pizza and whatever that was.
Chickpeas.
Oh, chickpeas. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I got the falafel, right? The falafel. Say the word.
Falafel?
Yeah, I got the – well, that was pretty good. You know, I'm thinking, oh, this has got to be good, you know. Carving a piece of meat on the street and throwing it in some stuff. And so I took chickpea sauce. And I should have ate it without the chickpea sauce, obviously. But it just, you know, it's got to be good. Everybody's putting chickpea. It's like, you know. And so I took chickpea and I poured it over top of it. And you're like in these little small streetways. And walk. It's not like America where you got like an acre of food. You can like chunk something.
Yeah, right.
There's like trash cans on every corner. And so I'm walking with this big, huge thing I killed with chickpea sauce. Not being able to eat it. You can't just throw it anywhere. And I had to carry that thing all over the place. But it was so wild, man. So, but I've had some, you know, when I was there before, you know, I had some great food and some great time with others. And but I just want to encourage you, if you would like to lose 10 pounds today, that if you go to Israel and just eat what they put in front of you, you will probably eat less. You know, no, but they do have some good food over there. Remember, they don't mix meat and cheese. And no, Pat, they're not going to have sausage on things.
No.
Pork, anything. You know,
and no hot sauce.
Yeah. And so we even went to the back door one place, like, could you throw a piece of meat on top of this? But praise God. We made it back. We lived. And, you know, even though we lost the 10 pounds, I just want to give a praise report. We found it.
Yes. Yeah,
we found it. That's awesome. And we found its friend. And we found its friend.
Wow, you know, I want to just definitely say this, that was chickpea sauce that I put on my falafel. You know, I talked about chickpea. By the time I got to the what I put on my actual falafel, I forgot the word sauce. And so it was chickpea sauce. It was chickpea sauce. I want to say something as we're moving along here today, and we're really focusing today on the original intent, you know, understanding, you know, our founding fathers and the U.S. Constitution, original intent. We're talking, it's kind of a mixture of God's news behind the news because it's now. What's our original intent, you know, with that? But I do want to say first that don't forget that you can subscribe for free today, VFN TV. You actually can text VFN TV to the number 22828. You can text VFN TV to the number 22828 and become a free subscriber. And we have some wonderful things available for you to all of our free subscribers there. And we're just excited about that new opportunity to be able to subscribe through text. You know, we're talking about, you know, the original intent of the nation. We're talking about the hidden health care. You know, remember we said, you know, it's good. You know, it's definitely good. If somebody's sick and you help them, that's good. If somebody has a broke leg and you mend it, that's good. Mm-hmm. You know, but yet if somebody actually helps you with the intentions to destroy you, they use something good to do something bad.
Right.
That makes sense?
Oh, yeah.
And so, and I don't believe that, I don't believe that people have necessarily evil intentions, but I know Satan does. I know that he's a strategist in regards to he's willing to take anybody captive to be able to do his will. And our goal of VFN Radio is to gently instruct those who are held captive to say, listen, stop.
Please.
Please stop, because the Constitution says the government shall make no laws concerning religion or the practice thereof. That's which means this, that, you know, God tells us this is how marriage should be. This is how family should be. This is how, you know, we should handle our finances. It doesn't matter what it is. This is how we sing. This is how we want to express ourselves. You know, we want to be able to put signs up. What do we want to do? Just the government shall make no laws concerning that. You know, and the Lord says, you know, that to kill your child for whatever reason is murder.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And so we cannot support, you know, the killing of babies. You know, we switched the word from killing to abortion, you know, and I totally empathize. You know, with maybe you're listening now and you're a person, man or woman, because as the woman, you know, that you may have went to that and you know, you made that mistake and you feel really bad about it. But let me tell you, now God can actually forgive you. He forgives. But we first have to say that it was wrong.
That's right.
You know, and he'll release that. Or maybe you're a man that you convinced your wife or a lady to be able to, you know, and sometimes women are pressured into
to doing that, and men pay, you know, for it to take place. But either way, she didn't get pregnant alone.
That's right.
You know, that hasn't happened but once, and it was God.
Yeah.
So that wasn't alone. And so understanding that we can't just say this is okay, you know, and it's not that we don't empathize, we totally understand. We can understand, but if this is the way God says it has to be, then we have to turn to God and say, God, we need your help because this is how it needs to be. We don't need to establish laws, you know, that's against God, because then we're caught then at that point of having to obey God over men, but we actually let the law get created.
That's right.
So we're creating a serious conflict. And presently there's not, but there will be if we go this route. And the second thing is that, you know, in regards to marriages between one man and one woman, you know, and understand this too, you know, all this, we have to actually repent for what's happened in Christian marriages. You know, 50% of the marriages in the church are ending in divorce. For whatever reason, we'll talk more about this in the future. God's right when it comes to marriage. Right. He's not just right when he says it's between a man and a woman. He's right in how that marriage should operate, how that family should operate.
That's right.
And right now, the church is pretty much clinging to it's between one man and one woman. But it's like, hey, it's between a godly man and a godly woman who operate in the principles of God. Because if you're fighting and squabbling all the time because, you know, one's wanting to go live their life God's way, and you're both profess to be believers, and your children watch the battle go on, you know, arguments only destroy those who listen. So why would that generation even think about, you know, wanting to get married? And so it's not just a man marrying a woman, mm-hmm. but it's also, you know, how God says it should be. And so the Constitution backs us up. The Founding Fathers understood this. And so they said the government shall make no laws concerning this. And we're going to talk more about other, you know, amendments. But this particular one, I want you to read, you know, when the president gets in office, when Congress gets in office, when a justice, a Supreme Court justice gets in office, a citizen, an alien becomes a citizen, they take oaths.
Right.
They take an oath. They actually swear to do something. And I want to read, this is the president's oath. We're going to read several of them. But you need to know this, because we send somebody, we elect somebody that we, whoever you know, you choose, and everybody takes the same oath. It's not a different oath. It's the same oath. And the president's oath, for example, is, this is what he says. He says, I do solemnly swear. Think about it. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. So help me God.
Mm. Wow.
That's the whole purpose of you being there in office, is to be the guardian of the original intent. And people are going, well, I don't know, you know, maybe the Constitution. That's his job. That's what you do when you're in legislation. That's what you do when you are a justice. That's why we sent you there. We didn't send you there to come up with a new one.
That's right.
We sent you there to actually hold fast to the original vision and intent over the. Think about it. It should never even cross your mind to say, I want to change the Constitution, or I think it's a list of negative rights and all these different things. It's outdated. It's like, what are you doing? When you went in office, you took this oath, and this is the oath that you took. You said, I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. So help me God. It's important for us when we're actually talking to who we're probably going to, you know, vote to put in an office somewhere. You know, we actually need to ask them, where do you stand with God? Because you're going to fix and swear to God that you're going to defend and you're going to protect this Constitution from enemies, foreign and domestic, which means this: it's the enemies out there and it's the enemies in here. That means there could be enemies inside of America that wants to do away with the U.S. Constitution.
That's right.
And you understand, doing away with the Constitution means that, you know, you can't worship God freely. That they could tell you, like the Queen or the King did of Great Britain, you tell the pilgrims, this is what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing. It's like, do you really want to give that up? Or you think about this. You know, for those in the VFN family, you can actually see this in due space. This is actually available for you in due space right there. But even a senator, when a senator gets in office, they take an oath too, Pat. They hold their hands up. They put their hand on a Bible, and they swear. This is what they say. A senator says this. He says, I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. Think about it. And so help me God. Think about this, church. It's wrong to be able to put somebody in leadership in this country, and the Constitution is what dictates whether you should have a president, a Congress, a legislature, all these different stuff, the right to tax. It comes right out of the Constitution. And so, and they're actually sent there to be able to defend it from enemies, foreign and domestic. And so you have to understand that when, you know, we're looking at perspective here, the original intent is the original intent of the founders was to have people that we chose from amongst us that would go to these places and they would fight to the end, not to change the Constitution, not to do anything outside of it. Mm-hmm. And if anything else, you know, you think about it, it's just amazing. It's what they're constantly talking about. So when they're talking about making laws that tells the church, this is what you'll do, in which they even did in 1968, and that needs to be changed. And I just, you know, if we repent, they'll turn that over as well. But that's the opposite of their office. It's like somebody says, my job is up, but when you see them, they're down. You know, it's like,
all right.
Yeah, it's the opposite. That's a bipolar thing. It's not good, you know. Or even the House of Representatives, Pat. Even the House of Representatives, you know, in the Senate, you have one president, obviously. And the Senate, you have two senators for every state. So that would be 100 senators for 50 states, right? Mm-hmm. Now, in Congress, they have more of a popular representatives there that is based on population. So you have a large Congress. Mm-hmm. So it's very specific. And this is written in the Constitution.
Right.
And that's why you see a large Congress, a House of Representatives that's there. But they take a very same kind of oath. Mm-hmm. This is their oath. This is what your state congressman, not your state congressman, but your congressman in D.C. actually takes. He said, he or she says this, I, and they state their name, I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against enemies, foreign and domestic, and that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
Wow.
So help me God. And it's like, listen, we have to wake up. Everybody's sleeping. We forgot that if you change the Constitution, their very purpose, you know, of being there, it's like, this is totally wrong. But I think about this, you know, and we're going to go over one more. But I think about, you know, when God turns a people over, it looks like this. You know, you start thinking, isn't this stupid? Doesn't 2 + 2 = 4?
It used to.
But, you know, when Gideon, when God began to deliver his people, that he had the enemy turn in on itself. And he just basically just watched it take place. And once that happened, then he came on in and did what he did. And we're seeing right now what it's like when a people turns in on itself. Because what's happening right now in every different measure of society and government is the fact that that we forgot our original intent. Mm. We forgot that you know, what's... turn our back from God. Mm-hmm. And with that, all of a sudden, brains don't work anymore. Yeah. Wisdom's out the door.
Right.
I mean, if 95% of believers who profess to love Jesus don't win one person to the Lord, he that wins souls is wise, as we talked about in the first hour. Mm-hmm. It's like, something's happened here, you know, we got some captivity going on. And then with that, you know, an oath of office, when you're seeing that their oath of office is to defend, to protect, to defend the Constitution of the United States. I even think about the Supreme Court justice. Here we're going to be praying for all of them, pray for all the Supreme Court justices, because the powers are equal. You have the executive branch, which is the president. Mm-hmm. His powers are equal to the judicial branch. and their powers individually are equal to Congress.
Right.
And so with that means then there's a balance of powers there, mm-hmm. but none of them are equal to God.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And so you could actually put the word executive and the word equals, I mean the sign equals,
mm-hmm.
and you could put judicial branch and put the word equal and to Congress. And so they're all the balance, they're all have separate powers. And so the Congress doesn't tell the judiciary branch what to do. The judiciary branch doesn't tell the executive branch what to do and vice versa. Mm-hmm. It's just like, we just got to watch. And so right now we're at a point of decision where we're talking about praying for the Supreme Court justice because their powers are equal to Congress and their powers are equal to the executive branch. So if they make a ruling that says this is unconstitutional, you think, well, why would they do that? They take the very same oath. This is the oath right. for the Supreme Court justices. This is the original oath for the Supreme Court justices. And it says, I, and they state their name, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will administrate justice without respect to a person and do equal to the poor and to the rich, and that I will faithfully and impartially discharge and perform all the duties incumbent upon me according to the best of my abilities, agreeable to the Constitution and the law of the United States. It has to agree. They can't not just arbitrarily do something. It has to fit.
Mm.
And so the judiciary branch does, they go, okay, Congress, you made the law, and we'll let you know, executive branch, if you can enforce it.
Mm-hmm.
After we find out if it even fits the Constitution. So right now, they're looking at marriage. They're looking at this Obamacare, which care is good,
right.
but the motives behind it. Why would you even try to tell, the church what to do about that? And it's like, I just think it's the mercies of God, because why would they even spill that out other than trying to divide the church over the whole issue?
Right.
You know, cause division and strife, because it's just a hint to everybody going, hello, this is where it's going to go if you want to go that way.
Right.
And so the judiciary branch right now are going to be looking at, and that's what Time Magazine's talking about, they're looking at whether this is going to fit the Constitution or not. And it doesn't fit the Constitution. The very First Amendment says that they cannot make any laws concerning religion or the practice thereof. And the practice is saying, you know, we don't pay for things that are sinful. And if we do, we repent and we say it was sin and we come back, but we don't pay for abortions. We don't have employees, you know, that are wanting to end their pregnancies by killing their child. We can't do that before God. And if we do it's sin, and God will actually forgive us for it if we repent from it. But we cannot consciously do that besides
mm-hmm.
Supreme Court justice. It's unconstitutional.
Right.
Because it violates the very First Amendment right.
Right.
And so that's why it's important. Think about it. If we did not have the U.S. Constitution, you know, and if we didn't send these leaders there to protect it and defend it from enemies, foreign and domestic, we just never knew that sometimes those who actually arrive are enemies themselves of it.
Right.
And I think about this. I think of Judge Ginsburg. I think it was Judge Ginsburg that was over in Egypt, and Egypt was working on, you know, getting their new constitution together now that it has new leadership now. And with that, they were talking about putting their constitution together. When they're putting their constitution together, she was there to be able to give instructions. And when she was giving instructions to them, she told them very specifically, now this is a Supreme Court justice, Judge Ginsburg, where she's offering her opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And she says that, listen, when you're looking at constitutions, when you're writing up your constitution, now this is actually... This is the country that's just the edge of the bottom of Israel. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
A lot of haters in Israel right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And with that, she said, don't use America's Constitution because it's old and outdated.
Mm.
And she named a particular country in Africa. I can't remember which one it was, but use theirs. It's new. It has, it answers abortion in there already and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, listen, her job, she swore to uphold the Constitution, and she's telling, the very thing that she's actually, you know, called to do is to be able to make sure things line up with the Constitution. She's basically saying, I really don't like what I'm having to do because I don't agree with the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you need to be removed from your bench,
exactly.
You know,
all right.
And that's what needs to happen, and you can do that. It's called impeachment, and it happened all the time originally. But for right now, for whatever reason, you know, they're not, you know, we're not applying that principle anymore. Right. And you can remove people from their offices when they're not fulfilling the pledge that they swore to uphold and protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, you know. Right. And so, and this is the whole thing. It's sort of like the Church of the Ten Commandments. You know, they're protesting and saying, no, we need to have the Ten Commandments up. If you ask them what they are,
they couldn't even tell you.
They couldn't even tell you what they are. And so we got to first learn the Ten Commandments, by the way. And we'll be having something probably up on the VFN TV blog for you about that. But also, we have to understand the Constitution. Mm-hmm. You know, understand it, read it, you know, listen to it. Read just the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. Understand that everything that's happening in government, it's happening because it's written in the Constitution. So it's all designed to how many senators you have, how often they run, how many congressmen you have, how many presidents you have, how long they're in office, whether the states have these powers or those powers. It's all written in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how can we actually hold them accountable to something we don't even know? If we don't know the speed limit, how are we going to know when somebody's speeding?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just encourage you, this is, we're at a crucial time right now. And you need to be able to think about, you know, I want to pray very specifically. What's God's perspective of this? And I want to be able to pray and just say, you know what? You know, we need to really focus on the fact of a very specific prayer that God touches Judge Kennedy's heart, Justice Kennedy's heart, and he just turns around. And the whole thing just turns around. You know, and God's merciful. You know, this is a great city like we talked about last week, great country, like Nineveh is a great city. And when they actually responded, when they responded to it, they God actually began to turn things around, and he stopped the plans. And God, there's plans right now for this country that are unfolding that if we don't turn back to God, the church, I'm talking about the church, then it's not going to be good. But I believe now or later we will. But it's just going to go through a time of real struggle and testing and all that, you know. So I want to encourage you. You can find out more about that on the VFN TV blog. As a matter of fact, I think it's even up right now. And you can go and it has a link to actual the article that they wrote about it. But that's Time Magazine saying they're the decider. So we know we can pray, and we can begin to pray for Judge Anthony Kennedy, Justice Anthony Kennedy, and all the Supreme Court justices who have equal powers to the executive and the legislative branch, that they would actually be in agreement with what God says about how these things should happen. We'll be right back in a moment. Well, you know, you think about, you know, when you get saved, the first thing you want to do is what? You want to know more about Jesus, right?
That's right.
And so you start reading the Bible. You're excited about reading the Bible. And then you think you know, when you want to learn how to read and write and add, you want to go to school, right?
Sure.
You know, and look, let me tell you about my experience. So I got excited, man. I'm just in love with Jesus. I read the Bible all the way through. It may have been the first book I ever read all the way through. And I'm just pumped. I'm floating, man. You know, I'm the police, you know, and I'm just excited and just totally, you know. And so then I apply for Bible school. I'm just so committed, you know. I'm like, I filled out this application to be able to go to Bible school, you know, me and Jesus. Yeah. And so I go through all the processes of approval, and I walk through the whole traditional cycle, you know, and I make it through references and all this kind of stuff. And I finally go to the pastor's office, you know. I get back there and I sit down. I just share my juvenile in the Lord heart with him about, you know, what I felt like to do. And he was just very encouraging, you know. And he signed my application to go somewhere else to get an education, you know. You'd think I could have got one there with 1,200 people. Anyway, so then I go send my application off. So I'm waiting patiently for my application to come from the Bible school that the whole world is supposed to be talking about. And I get a reply back from them. They tell me, listen, John, are you hearing me? Listen to this.
I'm hearing.
They said I wasn't saved long enough to go to school. I got rejected, man. They wouldn't even let me go to school, man.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you do with that? I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know? And so I'm dealing with this personal rejection that I can't learn about Jesus. I'm not saved enough to know him yet. There's nobody discipling me. I got a reference to go to this place. And so, you know, Well, I guess the school is just not here today, by the way. It didn't last that long. It kind of closed up.
Wow.
Which is kind of good. I don't have it hanging on my wall. But, you know, that's what VFNU is about. You know, Vine Fellowship Network University is that, you know, I can feel your pain. If you're listening right now and you love Jesus, you know, you just want to know more about him. And I want to encourage you to find out more on VFNU.org today. That's not how Jesus is. Remember, the Pharisees were amazed that simple fishermen were being used. They had a deep education, and they knew you had to have the Bible memorized to be a Pharisee, you know. And by the age of 40, Paul had it memorized. But they were using simple fishermen. God was using simple fishermen. And they just couldn't get it. But just because they couldn't get it didn't mean they didn't have it. They had Jesus, you know what I'm saying, amongst them, and God was moving. So I want to encourage you that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. If you're feeling called in to know more about Jesus, you know, possibly even called to even, you know, go into the harvest field, you know, be a minister, to be a shepherd, a pastor, maybe even a church plant. You can find out more at vfnu.org.
You know, if you're out there and you're listening and, you know, you find that life is empty and you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing. You know, you work at a good job, you went to school, you're married, you have a family, you have children. And you know what? Things still don't seem to quite satisfy. And it still seems like, you know, there's a big hole in your heart. I want to encourage you. There is hope today. You know, there is a hope through relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And you can meet him at Meet My Father. You know, the world is hungry. And I can tell you, I was in the same place. I can relate. You know, I went to school, I did all the right things that you're supposed to do, but yet deep down in my heart, I still had such a huge hole and no amount of everything the world had to offer me. And I did it all, was never satisfying. And still, at the end of the day, I still was missing my relationship with God. You know, if that's you, let me tell you, you can meet him. You can go to meetmyfather.org and you can meet my father and you can begin this journey of understanding and knowing him personally. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Well, you think about, you know, abiding. I mean, it's just, talk to us, Steve. Talk to us about, you know, somebody out there, they're thinking about, oh, it's just so hard. You know, what do I do? I mean, what would you say to them?
It's just really simple. It's not hard. You're just being with Jesus. You're talking with him. You're reading his word. And you're just listening.
Right.
You're talking to him. He's talking to you. And it really is that simple.
How rapidly did your growth in God happen once you started abiding with him?
It was amazing.
Isn't it?
God just started pouring out himself because he just says, you seek me, and I'm going to seek you.
He says, you draw near to me, mm-hmm. I will draw near to you. You can find out more about that at iabide.org. You know, everybody really wants to abide. They want to hang out with God like John 15, Jesus tells us. But they just need a little simple plan to do that. You can find out at iabide.org. Just request your plan today.
You know, I want to remind you again about the VFN TV blog that's available. We refer to it originally as the BG blog, but you can get to it at vfntv.com. And we talked about, I think it was Friday, about going to D.C. Mm-hmm. And that's available now. We actually had it right there available. As a matter of fact, you might be able to even hear it now. This is this.
You sure got to climb a lot of steps to get to this Capitol building here in Washington. Well, I wonder who that sad little scrap of paper is.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the Capitol City. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee. But I know I'll be along.
So that's available for you right there. We actually found it. That's what I did when we went to D.C. I got to sit on the steps of the Capitol there. And to be able to sing that, you know, as a kid, you actually had that. And you can learn a lot from that. It's on the VFN TV blog. You can find that as well as, you know, as we talked about, you know, the wall builders, finding out if you're registered to vote or not. You can find that there at the VFN TV blog. Also, you can find out the convenience store in Ottawa. We actually have the CNN clip of the video that's available there, how the husband and wife grabbed the person who was doing it. So anytime you hear it, we're going to try to make that available to you at the VFN TV blog. You can find that there. And also, of course, the front cover Time magazine that we talked about as well. You were coming to the end of this extra hour, believe it or not. So I want to go quickly say
about, you know, we're talking about the oaths of office and that they take that, you know, Pat, even our military, when our military goes and they get sworn in, when I got sworn in to the Navy and when they get sworn, this is what they pledge. They pledge this as a military person who is going to swear to, you know, defend our country. They say, I hereby declare, this is their oath, the military oath. I hereby declare an oath that I absolutely and entirely, no, this is a different one here. It is, yeah, here they are here. This is the military. I, they state their name, do solemnly swear and affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution again. I will defend the United States. Let me read that again. This is the military oath of office, oath of getting into the military. I do, and they state their name, solemnly swear and affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against the enemies, foreign and domestic, and that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. Think about it. And that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me according to the regulations of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So help me God. You think about it. Even our military, that they are actually tied into the Constitution. Mm-hmm. So our presidents swore to uphold the Constitution.
Right.
Our senators swore to uphold the Constitution, to protect it and defend it. Our representatives, our Congress, our legislature branch has done the same thing. Our Supreme Court justices have done it. Even our military officers and military enlisted all over the place, which we're very thankful for them. Mm-hmm. They've done it. And think of one more thing. I know we're coming to an end. This is actually what those who become an American citizen, they have to make a oath of allegiance to our country,
right,
to the Constitution. This is what they say. When you become a citizen of America, they have an oath. And this is their oath. I hereby declare on oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce and adjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty of whom or which I have heretofore been a subject or a citizen, and that I will support and defend the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, so help me God. And we're talking about, you know, people coming over the borders, people being sworn into our, being brought into citizenship. It's not just about coming an American citizen. It's about, do you even know what the Constitution is? Do you even know what it says? And don't you understand that to be an American, you actually have to abide by the Constitution? That's what we're made up of. Every particular government, every soldier, every citizen that becomes a citizen of America, it's all tied to one thing. What? Mm-hmm. The United States Constitution. It's important to uphold the original intent. The original intent gave us the freedom to be able to worship, church. We have to wake up and say, you know what? You know, that we're not doing anything illegal. When we say, listen, the Constitution's right. Our founding fathers are right. And we don't want to change it. We don't want to give up our First Amendment rights. And we're going to talk more about other amendments they have in there. But it's just everything surrounded because of that the Constitution, because that's what holds us together.
Right.
And that's why it's important who's coming over the borders. Not do they, for whatever reason, other than the fact that, are you going to surrender all allegiance to all these other governments and all these other things like Al-Qaeda and all other things that trump our government, and you're going to swear an allegiance to the United States Constitution to protect and defend it? If not, go find you another country.
Right.
You know, it's cool. There's plenty of them out there. But if you're going to, if you're allegiant to the other country, you need to go to the other country. But you come to America, you're supposed to be allegiant to this Constitution. That's why it's important. So I encourage you, tune in, get figured out, you know, yourself, what the Constitution says. We're coming to a close of our extra hour day. Had a wonderful time. God bless you and have a blessed day.